I don't need more wine. I need more land, damn you. But yes, more wine. Fill it right up, you twit. Ah, oh, now, who owns that miserable little farm down the bottom of the hill?
Why, that's the Craster Cook's farm, sir. He lives there quite happily with his wife, Dorothy.
Well, I want that farm and I want them off it. Get that place bought on my behalf. I'll knock down their hovel and build a fine new house in its place.
I'll make the relevant inquiries tomorrow, sir.
But when the cooks were approached about buying their farm, they politely declined. They were happy with their farm and had no desire to uproot the life they'd worked hard to create. Enraged, Philipson sent another offer, and another, each time with increased terms and an increased air of anger.
Oh, despicable peasants! How dare they refuse me! This calls for something more drastic.
A few days later, a letter arrived at the Cook farm. It was from Miles Philipson. Apparently, he'd had a change of heart. He wanted to apologize for his behavior. And as a way to make up for his persistent pressurizing, he invited the couple to dinner. And so they joined him in the manor.
I hope the food is to your liking. Do your servants also like to serve caviar?
Yeah. Well, no. We mostly eat potatoes, sir.
Oh, of course. Well, I've always said potatoes are the caviar of the earth.
After a pleasant evening, the cooks had been charmed by Philipson and returned home confident that the events were all behind them. But it wasn't to be. The next morning, the couple were awoken to a loud banging as soldiers kicked in their door.
All right, you thieves, out of bed.
Where is it?
Where's what, officer?
A familiar voice echoed from behind the soldiers. It was Miles Philipson.
Where's my silverware, Mr. Cook?
Mr. Philipson, I don't know what you...
I saw you and your wife admiring it at my dinner party last night. And just like that, it's gone missing. Suspicious, don't you think?
But sir...
Mr. Philipson, I think you should come and have a look at this.
The soldier held Dorothy Cook's bag, the same one she had with her at the dinner party. Inside were the cups and silverware from the dinner party.
Take them away, boys!
The soldiers marched the couple off, completely unaware that it had been planted there by none other than Miles Philipson himself. Now, as if the fate of the cooks couldn't get any worse, when they were hauled out into the courtroom a few days later, who was the judge? None other than Miles Philipson. Their judge didn't have much sympathy, and he swiftly handed them each a death sentence and awarded himself their farm as compensation.
What? What year is this?
1600s.
That makes sense. Yeah. That checks out.
When their day of execution came, Dorothy Cook wouldn't go without the final say.
Any last words?
Said the executioner.
I curse thee, Miles Philipson. For what you have done, heaven will never forgive. Mark my words, I will haunt you, Philipson, and your children, and your children's children, for as long as they live.
Okay, that's enough.
And sure enough, Rory, when his fancy new property was built on the site of the old Cook farm, strange occurrences started immediately. At the grand housewarming party, guests noticed a terrifying sound emanating from the staircase in the house's foyer.
Blood-curdling shrieks and screams cut through the party atmosphere,
which I will say is a buzzkill at a party, isn't it? You're trying to be like, okay, and check out the entertainment room in the back here. Yeah, we've got a home cinema set up in here. And he opens the door. Closes it again. You know what? Maybe we'll skip the home cinema for now. Let me show you the gym.
You just gotta try and find a way to mask it. You know, turn up the beats a little bit. Get that pop in. When the screams keep coming through, people are like, yo, what the f*** was that? Was that? Did I just hear someone scream? It's like, yeah, probably freaking out over this crazy party. Turn it up, Mr. DJ. Ah! Ah! Yes! Ah!
And so it's like, there's ring wraiths in the background. The guests are like, was someone screaming in there?
Yeah, we've got a raccoon problem. That's for sure.
You never party so hard you just want to become translucent and float around the house?
Oh, it's just a trick of the wind or something.
Curse thee, Philipson.
But they really did. The guests rushed to see where the noise was coming from, and they were traumatized by what they saw. There on the banister above them sat two human skulls screaming and shrieking.
Damn!
And so Philipson had his servants remove the skulls and toss them in the lake.
Yeah, that'll get rid of them. That'll do it. That'll make them happy. What if we drown the skulls? That sounds like a good way to fix everything.
This is...
we'll come back to haunt us, literally.
This is, I think, what they call the landlord special, you know? The yeah. same way landlords love to just kind of paint over cockroaches and broken bits of wall plastering. Just throw the screaming skulls in the lake.
Throw the skulls in the lake.
Someone else's problem.
Listen, I do get it. You know, nowadays, you might be able to cover up screaming at a party. Because all you got to do is go over to that playlist, put on some Slipknot. You know, there's a lot of screaming in that stuff.
Yeah.
That would be great. It kind of just blends into the background, you know. I put my fingers into my... And all the skulls go, ah! You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if there was much of that music kicking about in the 1600s. I think we were still f***ing about with lutes.
Yeah.
And shit, you know, like, and fiddles.
Yeah.
not a lot of people incorporating death metal screeches into their jaunty performances.
Rory, this is absolutely one of the most bizarre, strange English paranormal legends I can think of. This is known as the Screaming Skulls phenomenon.
Damn, okay, so today's story is just about the skulls.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they seem like a very small part. I just found out about them.
Well, I had to give you the backstory
right.
to the skulls, because otherwise you'd be like, where'd the skulls come from?
Yeah.
Don't worry. There is more to the story to come, but I think bringing it back to the courtroom analogy, we've got a good motive from the skulls to why they be screaming.
Right. Okay. We've
they
started
hate
with it.
Miles.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this will be interesting to see whether or not the skulls appear for everyone or just Miles.
Yes. Now, it is a spoiler. I've slightly given it away that these are maybe not the only screaming skulls in the British Isles, but this is one of the more famous stories to do with this phenomenon.
Can I throw out a possible way of dealing with the skulls if they keep turning up in your house?
Please.
I think probably, you know, as a paranormal investigator that's been involved in many, many cases, when you have a paranormal object or being or presence that currently and repeatedly is turning up in your house,
yeah,
the simplest method is to burn it down and move on.
Yeah.
The TPL classic.
A technique we've been espousing for years.
And I sometimes do that even if they show up for the first time. I don't wait for the second time. Burn it down, move on.
Sometimes it can be preemptive.
If you just
hear a cat wailing outside your house, uh-oh, could be a skull. I mean, it all arguably is a skull, just the skull is currently inside of a cat.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
But it could be a future disembodied skull. Just burn the house down, move on.
Yeah. Sometimes if just like the oven stops working, I don't really know how to fix it. So I'll just burn it down and move on to a new place.
How many places are you on now, to be clear?
I'm on 7. I really slowed down ever since I got the air fryer because I don't use the oven anymore.
Yeah.
So I kept breaking the ovens because I put a lot of things in there.
Yeah. Whenever I was on holiday and I think I talked about there being a gas leak in my Airbnb, that place was trying to burn me down and move on. It was trying to move on from my booking, my active booking. And I just got there.
So just a theory that I think we should remember. Burn it down, move on. That's what I would do.
It's a good point. But hey, Rory, we know what these Scrooge McDuck characters are like. He's probably pretty attached to Calgarth Hall.
True.
Not a name that rolls off the tongue.
No, it doesn't. Sounds like a demon.
Calgarth.
Calgarth sounds like the kind of motherfucker that will drag you to hell during the rapture. He shows up on the back of a flaming horse.
Calgarth!
Yeah. Calgarth sounds like if you're a woman and you're on the dating scene and you meet a guy and it's all going well and you can't believe it, he's 10 out of 10, but his name's Calgarth. And you're like, ah. And you say, he's talking, he's telling you about his job. Really great job. Interesting guy. Super,
super
kind,
guy.
Considerate.
He collects souls for the Dark One. It's a lucrative position.
But as he's talking, you're like, yeah, hi, you're imagining, hi, mom and dad, this is Calgarth. I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah. Sorry, did you say Kyle Garth?
No. Calgarth. It's like Colgate, the toothpaste, but Calgarth.
But evil. Okay, that's worse then.
Any nicknames? Nah. Not really.
It's like Colgate, but 0 out of 10 dentists recommend me. Okay.
He's like, so anyway, Calgarth was at the mall the other day. Sorry, did you just refer to yourself in the third person? Yeah.
I need you to say your name less for this to work.
Calgarth loves margaritas as well. This is a really good one.
That's hot where I come from. Okay.
So I just wanted to get out there a little bit of what is happening, but I think we're going to find out even more by looking back to the story of Miles and his skulls. If we recall, he threw them into the lake, hoping for the best. You might have inferred by the fact I'm still talking, that wasn't the end of the story. Things were okay for a while, but at his next party, the Screaming Skulls had miraculously returned. This time, he was offering his friends a drink.
Ha ha, I've got you, bro. 2 ice cold Modellos for the fellows coming right up. Ha ha.
He opens the fridge.
Jesus Christ, shh. What are you doing here? I thought I got rid of you.
Surprise, bitch. I told you, we're haunting you forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah, bitch.
Yo, what's taking so long? The game's about to begin.
I'll be right there. Just getting a couple of chases, too. Ha ha ha. Listen here, you little shits. You will not disrupt my guests this time.
But he was wrong. The guests were again terrified and fled the house. And so he had the skulls ground to a fine dust and scattered in the lake.
Another great option. I mean, take them away from the lake, my guy. Stop putting them back in the lake.
Take them off the property.
You've gone to the effort to pound them into dust. Put them on a train to another country.
This is, going back to dating things, this is a red flag. A guy whose solution is throwing everything in the lake.
Yeah.
Drain that lake. I think you're going to find a couple bodies in there, a couple things that aren't ought to be in there. But even after being ground to dust, scattered in the lake, they continued to reappear fully formed at Calgar Hall. The story goes that, unable to host parties and plagued with bad luck, Philipson became a recluse and eventually penniless as the property fell to ruin around him.
Good.
But I will say, whilst he clearly was a bastard, this is a sad end. You know, by all accounts, Miles was basically the third member of LMFAO. He was just trying to party rock in his house tonight, but the skulls stopped him. But as I have hinted, Rory, this is far from the only time a story of a screaming skull has come up in British history. According to English folk tradition, a screaming skull is a common paranormal object. The skull belonged to someone who had been wronged in life or death, and their spirit haunts the object. If disturbed, screaming skulls have been known to scream, talk, laugh, and can bring general misfortune to those around it. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
I actually haven't. I think it's the first time we've heard about a screaming skull before. I don't know why, it's kind of a funny image in my head. Usually ghosts and spirits and those sort of things, they have a certain level of subtlety to them.
Yeah.
You know, so just a skull screaming at the top of its lungs. Even a skull screaming, does the mouth open?
Yeah.
Or does it just kind of bleed out of the lifeless bone?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It kind of doesn't matter, but I know what you mean. Like in the horror, like we sometimes do this. Okay, let's run the train of thought here. These ideas I'm about to say are all copyright, even if they're not very good. We sometimes say, what would the horror movie version of this be?
Sure.
In the horror movie, this is tasteful. It would be like the skull isn't necessarily a literal like mouth moving. It would be more like the skull, maybe it's even like a kind of tinnitus. It's like an impenetrable noise that just rings in your skull. That
drives people crazy. No one else can hear it. Yeah.
And it's honestly a metaphor for the guilt that person feels about what they've done. You know?
Yeah.
And like, no one else knows what's going on. And they're like, shut up.
Yeah. Maybe only one person can see it too.
Yeah.
They're like, what do you mean you don't see the skull? It's right here. They're going crazy.
But what the story sounds like is it's
teeth chattering. Yeah, that's all I can think about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which actually would be pretty dope at a party.
Yeah.
Again, maybe not an old timey party from the 1600s, but modern day? Hell yeah.
Do you think it would be an annoying party get? Like a skull that all it can do is talk. It's going to be one of those guys you can't get away from. the skull has cornered you at a party.